Okay, well, you tell me when, and then I'll turn it off, but go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to ask how can someone can go beyond formalism, beyond doing things in a mechanical way, and put bhakti in what that particular person is doing.
Well, because you're acting with your body, which is a machine, and because you're doing things on a regular basis, therefore, in one sense, it could be said that that's mechanical. So the activity in itself is mechanical. It's just a question of where one's mind is and where one's heart is when you're performing that mechanical activity. So if one's mind is absorbed in the activity and we have the right purpose and the right consciousness for doing something, then the frame of mind and the intent behind an activity will be devotional, and naturally that will give one access to going deeper. In other words, if we try to understand Krishna more and more, and if we try to make deeper our own devotional life, then the same activities will have more depth, and although they may appear mechanical, but that's not what they'll be. They'll be very, very spiritual. So, but that happens by good hearing. One has to hear and read and study. And then those things will come, otherwise it won't come. Otherwise the tendency is that it'll be more superficial. Something about that.
Well, how can we, while the object of our consciousness is the mind, how can we divert our attention from the mind while doing different things and just focus on the purpose of satisfying Krishna?
Well, you may not. If you're in your place of employment and you're absorbed, I don't know, counting numbers and so on, then you're absorbed in doing that, and that's not going to be the same type of direct absorption as if you're sitting at a desk reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, one doesn't replace the other, but rather, and that's that former is called Gona Bhakti, if you sacrifice the results of that activity to Krishna. But it doesn't replace the activities of direct devotional service, Swarup Sangha Bhakti, which means chanting and hearing and remembering, practicing those activities. So for instance, some rich man may donate millions and millions from the results of his work. He'll make a spiritual advancement, but he's not going to become very Krishna conscious if he doesn't chant and hear. If one neglects chanting and hearing, then those activities of offering the results of one's work, they don't replace that.
I was reading in that small book of Srila Prabhupada, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, that one should develop the attitude that Krishna is our dear friend. And how can we do that? Sometimes, maybe, okay, we might feel alone or something like that, and how can one perceive actually that Krishna is our dear friend?
Well, before he's a friend, he's a well-wisher. And when you become close to a well-wisher, then he becomes your friend. So that's a certain stage of devotional service, Sakyam Atmanivedanam. And it's a more advanced stage of devotional service. But we need to cultivate the attitude of being that Krishna is our well-wisher, which means that whatever is happening to us, we're surrendered to Krishna, is for our good, whether it be relatively a good thing or a bad thing, but everything is Krishna's mercy. So to see that everything is Krishna's mercy, that's when we become advanced in that type of perspective, then, you know, from a well-wisher, as the relationship becomes thick, then he becomes a friend. A friend is naturally a well-wisher. But a well-wisher is not necessarily a friend. Prime Minister may be a well-wisher, or at least he's supposed to be, but that doesn't mean he's your friend. But if you get to know him, then he becomes a friend.
May I please ask now some personal questions?
Any more along these lines?
And I wanted to ask more, why how can one develop trust in Krishna, because depend on Krishna?
You have to know that he's your well-wisher, and you have to become convinced of that. And we become convinced of that by hearing how Krishna deals with his associates. And if we read Bhagavad Gita, and especially Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we'll see how Krishna is always well-intentioned towards devotees, towards his associates. And so we gain confidence. We gain confidence in Krishna's activities, because we see that Krishna always acts in order to direct us back home to him. He may put us through difficult circumstances, but that's just because we have very elaborate defenses for not surrendering to him. And we may also have a lot of karma that we need to work off. But Krishna's always doing what's best for us. And that we'll know when we see how he deals with other devotees. That's why Bhagavatam is full of examples of how Krishna interacts with other devotees. He puts the Brijbasis in many, many difficult situations, but he always saves them. Answered and our problems will be solved. Hare Krishna.